everyone. Welcome to an all-new episode of the Loud Casa Talks. My name is Nate, and alongside below me is Omid. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Loud Crown and Casa Crew? How y'all doing? And let me just say, happy Pride Month, everyone. And
oh, that's right. It is Pride Month. That's right. It's Pride is June. Month.
Let's go.
LGBTQ community out there, you know, who you're at. We're proud that you're, you know, this is your month to be proud and be happy. So shout outs to, you know, those who are celebrating the month, this month for sure.
Let me just say, love is love. It's always beautiful no matter what.
Anything else happened this weekend for you?
Today it was just me, spending some me time, going to the gym, doing laundry, doing some reading, all that stuff.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. For me, I'm just, cleaning up the house, making sure that, we're, you know, just cleaning it up. My little stream room that I always do my stream on Twitch has always been messy, and I'm trying my best to actually clean this up so I can actually put some good furniture and actually put my little home for these little plushies anyway. But to say the least, you know, it's been a chill weekend. At least I was able to see you, but we'll see how things are when things lift up in 2 weeks. So we'll see. All right, so let's head straight to our recent news. Here for the Loud House. There wasn't really a lot to talk about, except we actually did have a brand new graphic novel that came out this week. Actually, I got it right here, by the way. It's a summer special. Omid, did you get your copy? What can you say about the graphic novel?
Yes, I actually did get mine. I got it digitally through my iPad. I'm going to say it was a fun, quick read for me.
Really? So nothing really much of a good comics that you actually want to talk about?
Like, I really liked the comic. Like I wouldn't call it one of my favorite ones, but like I said, it was just a fun read overall. So my favorite, my personal favorites from the graphic novel were Launch on the Run, Casa Campers, and One Loud's Trash.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. I actually was pretty surprised about, like, sister chemistry that was going on in the comic. I never even expect to see Lucy and Lenny actually, like, hanging out. Actually getting, like, actually having Lenny get, like, fashion advice from Lucy. So I thought that was a pretty interesting story that they put up there. One comic that actually stood out to me was, we're really pushing Sadonikin, are we?
Yes.
We're really pushing Sadonikin, aren't we?
Most of my parents are Sadonikin. Yes.
Okay, that was actually good. But they also, like, did have another comic, too, where, you know, they, I think, was Arturo, Sid, Ronnie Anne, and Lincoln actually camping out. It was surprising, too, because, like, Lincoln, out of all the people, actually came to this camp out. And I'm like, what?
Lincoln meets his future father-in-law, Arturo. That's what's up.
You were shipping the whole Ronnikin thing, and I'm liking it.
Lincoln and Arturo meeting face to face. It's just sight to behold.
And I also did put up like a couple of comics that I thought was pretty cool, like Sunday in the Park. That one kind of felt like Picture Perfect, but with the Casa Grandes instead of Louds in that one episode.
Yeah, it sort of felt like that. I definitely got Picture Perfect vibes right there, where you got Frida playing Lincoln's role, then you got the Casa Grandes playing as the Loud sister's role.
Not really. I mean, there's some pretty good comic strips out here, but they're all brand new, by the way. So, to say the least, I would say the summer special was actually pretty good. Just to say, like, they got some brand new stories, and of course, like, the graphic novels are absolutely pushing a lot of like things that we really wanted. So, no doubt about it, they were really pushing the Ronnikin moment here.
Yeah, man. Two Sadonikin comics in one graphic novel. What a treat.
And also, there's also was a CJ comic, by the way. Did you also like that too?
Yes. Yes. The best part about it, Carl and Adelaide in a lemonade stand. Carl Aide and the Lemonade Stand is hands down the absolute best part.
There's only one. That's only that one moment. It's like, okay, Carl's actually supporting Adelaide. I guess they're best friends. Best friends, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly. It's like best friends. I think they're in a higher level than that. I don't know.
How about the whole Lin Loud comic too? Because it looks like Lin actually has a job in the mall, and looks like he's competing against this one guy who also works there.
Yeah, I was actually really impressed by how Lynn has legit has her own job. I mean, sure, she did already have a job in Flip's Food and Fuel, in A Flip Miss Carol, but that was for a brief amount of time, and even then, it wasn't really exactly, you know, the career that Lynn really would have. Whereas here, on the other hand, is a sporting goods store. And when you think sporting goods, you think Lynn Lau.
You know, Lynn's going to actually win. The other thing too is like Lynn is a junior hire, yet he has a she has a job over in a mall. So I'm guessing the age for actually getting a job is actually pretty low.
Yeah, I was honestly pretty impressed by how a 13-year-old girl managed to land a job, like any kind of job, like anywhere.
Look, I'm not going to complain about that. I'm just more surprised that, you know, Lynn is growing up. Maybe she's probably looking for a brand new job. That's probably what the whole thing is all about. But anything else you want to bring up from the comics that you want to talk about before we head over to our main subject today?
Yeah, I think that there was one similar comic that was already in another graphic novel. I think it was the Popsicle comic. You know, the one where Lincoln gets a Popsicle and then the other Loud sisters try to, like, you know, get the Popsicle.
Which one was that? Was that in one of the previous graphic novels or?
As far as I can remember, it was in either graphic novel 2 or 3, possibly 2.
Probably. Yeah, it's Popsicle Problems. I'm reading through it right now. But yeah, Popsicle Problems is that.
But
one.
Don't quote me on that. Don't quote me on that.
Okay. Also, I forgot. We also did have one Lobby comic. Did you read that one?
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to talk to you about. One Loud's Trash. That's also another favorite of mine because, you know, I actually do relate to Lori a lot because, you know, I'm quite a hoarder myself. So I can understand. I can understand her, you know, sentimental values with the items she, you know, that Bobby wants to throw away for her. But then there's actually a touching reason as to why she hasn't thrown away those yet. Because they're actually bringing back memories of all the dates of her and Bobby.
I have to say, though, this was pretty cute. Just the fact that they were just looking through everything. And the thing is that, yeah, they're all relating towards Lori and Bobby's date. And I thought that was pretty cute. There's also a Click and McCloud comic as well. That one was them trying to get ice cream and they were too late that they actually missed out on it. I'm not gonna lie though, the Lunch on the Run is actually pretty nice. I mean, look, you have Ronnie and Lincoln actually hugging and screaming for ants.
Yeah, and then Sid is being carried by the ants and she loves it. It's like take me to your leader. I just love it.
But to say the least, like I'm actually okay with this. Like the summer special, I mean, the winter special was also pretty good, and then the summer special, this coming out, I think this, you know, kind of tells me like, with these specials that they have for the seasons or whatever they're trying to do, it just makes it feel like they're really doing well with their graphic novels. I mean, we have a lot more volumes coming out for these graphic novels, and if they're gonna continue to pushing out like what they're doing here for the Loud House and the Casa Grandes, then put me into it because I'm really invested in like what are they gonna put in next for the next stories for the Loud House and the Casa Grandes.
Yeah, and honestly, especially given the fact that there are some things that the Loud House comic does more so than the actual series, like, you know, push Ronnikin, hello.
You know, look the Casa Grandes comic graphic novel kind of like push the little Ronnikin moments there.
yeah, that too.
All right, sounds good. Okay, cool. So to say the least, if you haven't actually grabbed the summer special graphic novel, is available right now in Amazon, Barnes and Noble. Yeah, get the summer special if you guys can. All right, so that's pretty much it for our recent news. I have nothing else to report considering Loud House and Casa Grandes. But anyways, let's head over to our main subject tonight, which is Luann Loud. The funniest Loud of all. The fourth sibling of the Louds, Luann Loud, has quite a following because of whom she is. A very funny girl, a great comedian, a great actress, possibly a great director, and a whole lot more. And if you can recall what she's been doing recently, she pretty much belongs in the acting world, or more into the arts to say. She is also a member of the drama club, and she's been killing it when it comes to theater. So if you think of it, the future pretty much looks bright for Luann, pretty much considering how artistic and how theatrical Luann can be. So tonight we'll be discussing how Luann's future is going to look. And let's start off with how we actually thought of her in the very beginning. So in season one, we thought of, you know, our first impressions were, you know, she's really funny. She throws a lot of puns. I want to ask you, Omid, how were your first thoughts of Luann Lau when you first saw her in the Loud House?
Oh, I thought she was hilarious, like spot on. Honestly, there wasn't really a moment where I was annoyed or gruntled or groaned at any of her jokes or puns. Like, honestly, I felt that like she was a very likable, happy-go-lucky, free-spirited girl. And honestly, just the fact that she embraces her comedy, just the fact that she embraces her, you know, punny side, it's just something to just admire about her.
My thing about Luann is that she actually was my favorite Loud when I first saw her. Like, yeah, I can just pretty much go off with all the puns and say, like, yeah, she can be very punny. She can, you know, act as a comedian and stuff like that. The other thing, too, is that people think that she's annoying from the first season. I'm like, no, I actually like her. She's adorable. She's cute. She's, you know, she can be a little bit, like, annoying with the whole puns. But to say the least, that's pretty much her character. Like, she always loves to throw puns. She loves to be funny. And that has been pretty much thrown around throughout the first season of The Loud House. And I was enjoying it from the very beginning. Like, she's great. She's funny. You could just pretty much go through every episode where Luann is. And you can never, like, not laugh at what Luann does. And that's literally what I loved about her when I first, like, saw Luann. And she was my first, like, she was my first favorite girl of The Loud House before Lori came in and actually got better. So that's why, no doubt about it, Luann is still, like, in my top five, but she's not the number one like Lori is right now. So, but Luann is still very impressive. I still say very impressive introduction when we first saw her in season one.
Yeah, she's still, like, my second favorite character of the show, behind her roommate, of course.
Of course. Well, look, here's the other thing, too. You have these two awesome sisters who are pretty much the very artistic, like, Louds in the group, and they're literally sitting in the same room together. You know that they're going to have they're going to have a huge collaboration with those two. Like, you have the two artistic people. I mean, it makes sense for those two to actually, pretty much sleep in the same room together.
Yeah, honestly, like, for me, the artistic girls are the best ones. Like, for me,
I kind of feel the same way, because, like, Lori and Lenny are, like, always the flirtatious girls, and then you get the artistic girls, like the very talented girls, like Luann and Luna, to room together. Although I kind of weirded out with whole Lucy and Lynn; they're two opposites, and they actually are rooming together. So I'm like, you know, we got to talk about that also.
Yeah, and not only that, but they're on the opposite sides in terms of how old they are compared to Lincoln, where you got Lynn, who is one of Lincoln's older siblings, and you got Lucy, who's one of Lincoln's younger ones.
Right, right, right. But I can't really say much about it. I mean, Luann, you know, was my favorite Loud, but, you know, the puns, the comedic attitude that she always has, that's pretty much her character throughout season one. And like I said, throughout season one, it's all about her just being funny, and it all works out. She's still adorable and funny right now. All right. So let's move on to season one. And actually, we've got to be going down the line and seeing how Luann has been through our eyes when we first go through each episode of Luann. So let's actually just sum up season one pretty much. Because what can I say about Luann Loud for the first season? Because it seems that she has that comedic act. She always has a pun whenever she brings it up, and even does side stand-up shows as well. So how do you like seeing her like this in the early Loud House episodes?
Oh, I really adore her passion and admiration for jokes, no matter how cringe. I think what really helps sell these Luann scenes is not only the voice delivery by the lovely and talented Christina Puccelli, not only because of the reasons I mentioned earlier about how Luann embraces her comedic, punny personality, but also how everyone else around her groans, sighs, or gives annoyed looks whenever Luann makes a pun. Not only is it effective from a comedic standpoint, but it also shows a side of Luann that's actually very admirable. It shows that she doesn't care what anyone thinks of her jokes, and she continues to embrace her punny side no matter what anyone thinks of her. And honestly, that's just something that I really, really love about her. It's just the fact that she still keeps her funny, punny side. She still embraces it. And like I said, she could care less what anyone thinks. She just does her own thing.
Yeah, so I just look back in like all of season one, and there have been a couple episodes where like you don't have a focus when episode until like the end of season one. But throughout season one, you just see her. She always will put a pun out to somebody, like "What's up?" When Lincoln was in the shower, like was Lincoln sleeping in a shower, and then Luann wakes up, say, "Hey, Lincoln, what's up?" Oh, and man. And then the first episode, "Left in the Dark." There's a lot of puns that Luann already pretty much gave to you, so you could just immediately say from the first episode that she's just going to keep on putting up puns, and she's just continuing. Look, and people might be annoyed with the puns. You can see the sisters be annoyed by the puns, but the thing is that this is her, and she is a comedian. She's looking to grow up like a comedian, and there she is. She's just throwing puns, being comedic, wearing like some fancy goggles and things like that. But that's the character of Luann. She's supposed to be the funny loud of the funny loud sibling here. And it really, like I said, like in season, like the whole thing in season one, like that's the reason why she's like one of my favorite louds. Like she continues to be funny, even if she's getting annoyed by like all of her sisters, to say the least. It's actually I just need like some comedic character like Luann to actually continue to be in the Loud House. And I'm glad that she's still here, that she's still being funny, not being serious sometimes, but you know, she can be serious sometimes, but to say the least, like there's those times where she's actually really funny, and glad to have her in the show.
I honestly do agree. And honestly, I'm just going to say this right now. There's actually a future episode that we'll be talking about in season two that sort of contradicts what I said. Like, it's sort of inconsistent with the third point that I just brought up about Luann not caring what anyone thinks. We're going to touch upon that later, but it's just something that kind of bothers me just a little bit.
Okay. Well, that is an episode that we're going to be bringing up, because it is one of Luann's like big episodes. So yeah, good thing that you actually pointed that out. So by the way, we're not done with season one yet. We actually want to talk about two episodes in season one that really like triggered, that really, you know, impacted Luann's character. And the first one, April Fool's Rules, aka part one of Luann's April Fools.
The one that started it all.
Look, this is where we get to see the evil side of Luann. Apparently, like, look, she's a comedian, but she could be bad. She could be evil. I mean, the way that she reflects it in this episode, like, this is the first episode of April Fool's pretty much saga now, because we have four episodes of this now. But you never expect to see this funny, happy-go-lucky comedian turn pretty sinister when it comes to April Fool's Day. So how did you like the sudden shift of change of Luann Loud changing, like being all sinister and rebel in April Fool's when you saw this episode?
Oh, I loved it. Seeing Luann as an evil pranking genius was so fun to watch. In a way, it reminds me of the Joker and how over the top, wacky, creative, and ingenious that she is with her pranks. In fact, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Luann's pranking side was heavily inspired by the Joker, because it's really that similar. But the only difference is that Luann's pranks doesn't really cost any lives. You know, it causes mayhem, but it doesn't really cause any lives like Joker's does. And also the fact that, like, going back to what I said about it being ingenious, oh my god, does Luann foolproof the whole house or what? Like, head to toe, mouse traps, jello, hay, all kinds of items, you name it. It's just like, honestly, the reason I love this side of Luann is because it sort of ties into her love of comedy. Because in a way, pranks are correlated with comedy in some ways, because there's slapstick involved and all that stuff. And also the fact that, like I said, it pretty much brings out the creativity of Luann. It shows how creative Luann is with these presents. And it's just something to admire about her. And of course, you got like this evil laugh. And it's just a voice delivered by Christina Pucelli. Ooh, nice touch.
Yeah, Christina Pacelli actually does a good job with Luann in this. First off, I mean, like, look, when you watch season one, you just keep on seeing Luann just, you know, just keep on throwing puns, like, be comedic, be happy, be pretty much a happy-go-lucky girl that, you know, you like. And then all of a sudden, April Fools comes in, and oh my god, you see the sudden change of how Luann is. Like, she's pretty much in her Joker chair. She's pretty much looking, setting up all the pranks, getting ready for April Fool's Day. Oh my goodness. This is a huge sudden shift to change to see Luann be all like this. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, we'll get a good side of Luann. Now we get to see, like, the evil side of Luann. And yeah, evil side of Luann. April Fool's is actually, well, here's the thing about this. This is like pretty much the easy of, like, how April Fool's is. Like, oh, this is just her pretty much putting up pranks already all over the house. But then as you go to, like, episode 2, episode 3, and episode 4, it gets more and more sinister. Because we're going to be talking about those episodes, by the way. they really do get more sinister. So to say the least, like, you pretty much got the easy road on season one. When this continues on with these next couple episodes, oh my goodness, like, Luann really did serious about her pranking. And you never expected this. Like, oh, she's just so cute. She's so adorable with her puns. Oh, no, wait, just don't mess with her on this day because she's going to go all out and just start to prank you all over the place. But yeah, it was surprising. It was really surprising to actually see that, especially how Luann is just, you know, being all cute, but can be also be really evil, especially in April Fool's Day.
Oh yeah, like, honestly, like, it, like, pranking April Fool's Luann would make Lola, you know, wet her pants, and she actually did in this episode. She actually did in this episode.
Yeah,
because yep. Because Lola was like, I need a fresh pair of undies.
the other thing too is that side story now. A lot of prank. Well, the other thing too is I also want to give, like, props out to Lincoln because he was actually the one who's actually embracing the fact that he took all the pranks for Ronnie Anne. Oh, okay, we're going back to the Ronnie Kid thing here.
Yes. Hey, many Ronnie Kid fans will declare this, like, the best April Fool's episode, and of course, it's not hard to see why. But let me tell you, this right here, this April Fool's episode, it is a massive cakewalk compared to the future episodes, just like Nate just pointed out.
There's going to be a lot more of these April Fool's episodes, and you know what? Luann leading these episodes, I think, really are, like, really tells you, like, who Luann is, like, how what kind of character she is and all. Okay, well, by the way, that's gonna be coming up in the other seasons we're gonna be discussing, but we're not done with season one yet. Let's actually talk about the other episode for Luann, Funny Business, because this episode we get to see the comedy of Luann, but the thing is that we also get to see the jealous side of Luann, because Luann, yeah, she can be funny and stuff, but she can also get pretty angry, especially when you have Lincoln, like, trying to say who's the comedian here. I'm the comedian here, but Lincoln's trying to take over. Of course, Luann doesn't want that. She's really angry in this one. So I want to ask you, how did you like this episode, and what do you think about the outcome in this episode?
I really like this episode because it develops a relationship between Lincoln and Luann. What really captured me was how the two have different ideas in terms of what true comedy really is. Now, Lincoln's idea of comedy is, you know, the yuck yucks, the whoopee cushions, falling down, the wacky slapstick humor, all that sort of stuff, the falling down. While Luann's idea of comedy is actually much more wittier than that. It's much more creative, like the jokes, performing less juvenile tricks, playing the part of a mime, improv, all that stuff. So honestly, when it comes to comedy, let's be honest, Luann is the one who knows what's up. I liked how both characters learned something in the end too. Like, Lincoln learns not to interfere with Luann's funny business, pranking business, funny clown business, and Luann learns to not be so jealous.
Oh, that's a good thing too, because yeah, Luann got really jealous, especially the fact that Luann, like, Lincoln pretty much took over her business and stuff. But the thing is that Lincoln is not the full comedian. Like, who's the one who actually went to clown college or went to clown school? Luann Loud. So she knows all the comedic, like, forwards and backwards. She does a lot of kid shows. She's done a lot of birthdays. She just wanted an assistant because all the other assistant sisters are not good. So Lincoln took over the spot there. Although what kind of sucks is that, we get to see a jealous Luann. And this is like something that, like I said before, in season one, this is just a sweet girl, but she can also have her moments where she can get angry. And this is the one where she does get pretty angry at Lincoln, just the fact that Lincoln's trying to take over her business. And here's what I like about this in season one. Character development is starting for Luann. And that's good because I really love Luann in season one. And her development, when she actually starts to get angry, it kind of tells you that the Loud House is actually expanding more about her. And it was just great to see that, especially from Luann Loud, who was my favorite in season one.
Yeah, honestly, like, I said this during the first two seasons, I've always said that some of my favorite kind of episodes of The Loud House is honestly the one where Lincoln interacts with, one other Loud sister. Like, sort of like, sort of like Lincoln interacts with a solo sister, if you know what I mean. Like, Tulsa Tiaras with Lana, for Bros About to Rock with Luna. Luann in this episode, yeah, definitely.
The thing is that season one is mostly focused about Lincoln, but the thing is that these kind of episodes are like maybe like the start of like, you know, them having their own episodes, and that's why you have their own sister episodes, which worked out really well. But yeah. We can't really trust on Lincoln a whole lot. That's what made season one pretty much like how great it is, because Lincoln was pretty much in every episode. This time around, it's more like, okay, let's have the sisters actually focus, because this is the Loud House, not the Lincoln House.
Exactly. It's not the Lincoln House. It's not all about Lincoln. It's called the Loud House. Make it about the other Louds. And thankfully, that's what season three was starting to do. Thankfully. It was the genesis of Loud Sister Focus episodes.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But the thing is, like, yeah, I understand in season one that this was a focus, like, Lincoln episode where Lincoln is pretty much bothering Luann, and then Luann can't, like, Lincoln doesn't want to, you know, trying to take over Luann's business, and Luann gets jealous. The thing is that, yeah, you know, I mean, episodes like this are awesome, but let's actually have some more focus on Luann, because, yeah, she's also the one that actually runs this business, and there was a little bit of it, but then it was mostly focused on Lincoln as well. So, you know, I'm just happy that they actually shifted it over to, like, hey, let's actually have episodes with the sisters, not have Lincoln pretty much be the person who's always going to be in every episode.
Yeah, exactly, man. I think that's what makes season one of the weaker seasons, which honestly, when you do think about it, season one being one of the weaker seasons is actually beneficial. It's sort of the best because it shows how the Loud House has progressively gotten better and better by each season.
Yeah,
so this is actually a good thing.
I'm not saying I hate Lincoln Loud, obviously. I still love him. He's still a great guy. It's just that we had way too much focus in season one, and I'm glad that the Loud writers are actually shifting it over to actually having the sisters actually have some focus episodes, which is happening right now in season four and five, and I'm okay with, and I'm really happy with that. All right, enough talking about that. Let's actually head over to season two now, and let's talk about one episode that we always going to be talking about to every Loud that we're going to be talking about here in our future Loud series. Let's start off with All Is For Love. Luann shows her true affection, especially to a guy named Benny. We got to bring this up because obviously Luann and Benny are a couple right now, but this is how it all began. So how did you like that Luann had a love interest and that the Loud House writers continue to support the ship?
You know, it was nice to see Luann's crush in Ellis for Love. And not only that, but he was actually one of the ones who continued to be part of Luann's life going onwards in the show. It really shows how there's much more to Luann than just comedy and pranks. There's also another side of Luann who pretty much, she has her own insecurities, especially when it comes to Benny, which is why, with Ellis for Love, I'm really glad that Benny was one of those that kept on showing up on the series along with Sam.
And of course, you want Sam.
along with Sam, like the best part of Sam, but I'm so glad that they didn't shaft Benny like they did Winston, David, and all
Chaz,
that stuff. Like,
Chaz, we talk about Chaz a whole lot also with that shafting. If you're talking about shafted people, then Chaz would be
I'll
that
never
one
forget.
Person.
I'll never forget. I'll never forgive Undercover Mom for doing that. Oh, wait, sorry. Anyway, so... Yeah, I'm really glad that they kept Benny as an ongoing, recurring character because Benny plays a huge role in terms of developing Luann as a character even more, bringing a much more layered side of Luann.
I have to say, though, like, you know, you never talk about love with these, like, characters. Like, you don't have affection. You don't actually show, like, affection from any character besides Lori, because Lori obviously is in a relationship with Bobby. But for every Loud that was actually like showing their love interest in the Loud House, you'd never see it a lot. Maybe you could maybe see Lincoln with Ronnie Anne. But in season two, no, not like you don't see anything from the early Louds. Like, look, you don't see a love interest from Lenny or Luna or Luann or pretty much any of the Louds there until this episode drops and pretty much everybody has a love interest. So I thought it was like, oh, why do we actually have an immediate like love interest for everybody? And obviously, they wanted to push the LGBT agenda there and actually did put Luna and Sam together. And, of course, they're still supporting it. They have a lot of episodes together. But the other thing, too, is, like, I think the fans also have to be appreciated about this as well because, yeah, we got Lori and Bobby. But the other thing, too, is, like, yeah, everybody loves Luann as well. Why don't we actually continue on with Luann and Benny, which they did. And you know what? Some of us actually really love the whole ship of that, like Luann and Benny. Some are still like Luann and Maggie, but I'm like, yeah, you know, your ship.
I was about to say, whoa, do you hear that? It's a storm of crying Luwaggy shippers.
I'm not hating on them. It's just that, look, you guys are awesome, but this is the ship. This is like, how it's going to be, Luann
like,
and Benny.
Like, no offense to any of the Luwaggy shippers, but, you know, I know some of y'all are watching our Loud Casa Talks podcast episode, and let me tell you, I'm betting all of you right now are, like, you know, just, like, throwing a laptop, like, throwing on the wall or something like that. It's, like, just in the mirror picture of Luann and Benny, I see y'all. Y'all know who you are.
The thing is that for us here in the fan page of Loud House, we're going to support Luann and Benny. But the thing is, like, if you are a supporter of Luann and Maggie, we still support you, though. It's just that we're going to be supporting Luann and Benny no matter what. So I don't know. It's everyone has their crack ships. I mean, I have Stella and Lincoln, so you know that's possibly not going to be a ship. Like, that's going to be OTP. You know, it's going to be Reineken for the win. So
yeah, I'm guilty of a crack ship too. Okay. Clyde and Sid, all right? Like, slide.
So, yeah.
Danielle, you know I'm just playing with you, Luwaggy fans. Y'all are awesome.
Yeah, you guys are still awesome. You guys are still awesome. We're not gonna do that. but yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Luann and Benny are still the OTP. But the thing is, like, they started here. Although in this episode, they didn't actually show a lot of affection. It's just more like Luann loves Benny. That's it. It's not like Luna and Sam, which, you know, Luna loves Sam. That's why this whole thing about Luna and Sam became a thing. And of course, they're now a couple, and it's absolutely cute seeing those two together. Of course, this guy is going to be all about it. Okay. You know, we're going to be talking more about Luann and Benny because there are more episodes with those two in this show. So let's move on to more episodes about season two. Actually, I totally forgot about something that I wanted to point out in season one. I have a question for you, Omid. What if Luann actually became that activist that he was talking about in Butterfly Effect?
It would actually be interesting to see. And we have seen the activist side of Luann later along in Deep Cuts, but it was for completely different causes.
Right. But I'm so you know what? It's not going to work out. Like, if she actually moves on to being an activist, you know what? She was actually really passionate about it, but I don't see that in her future. She's proud to be a comedian, not quit and become an activist. And, you know, the world is changing. So I've decided to become an activist.
Yeah, you know she would never quit comedy. Well, except for that one episode we'll talk about later.
That is coming up real soon, by the way. It's in third season, but yeah. So let's actually move over to Fool's Paradise, aka part two of Luann's April Fools. Okay, I already told you in April Fool's rules, this is pretty much the easy mode of how sinister Luann can be. This is pretty much like hard mode of how sinister Luann can be. Because the thing is that the family's already prepared that April Fool's is gonna happen and that they're prepared. And they pretty much put Luann in clown camp, but then they get stuck in a hotel and Luann trapped the hotel and all kind of crazy stuff happens in that hotel, which kind of tells me, oh my God, this is like a horror movie. Oh my God, every loud sister is pretty much getting pranked. What is going on here? This is crazy Armageddon thing that we're seeing in this episode. So no doubt about it, it gets worse to tell you that Luann is getting more and more like smarter or evil, or and they're pranking, and especially when April Fool's Day always comes around. How about you, Amit? How do you like this whole April Fool's episode?
Oh, this was set up even more cleverly than the last. What I love about these April Fool's episodes is that they don't follow the same exact shtick, not the same exact repetitive plot formula. Each of them have their own identity. Each of them have their own execution. And each of them have their own different direction in terms of how they handle Luann and her pranks. This time around, they take the horror movie approach, where they pretty much, after they drop off Luann in a clown camp, they go to this dirty old motel, and then little do they know that it's actually foolproof of pranking. Just like the house was in the previous April Fool's episode, this one is the same, but with plot twists and plot turns. That's another thing I love about April Fool's episodes. It's like, you know, you got all these plot twists and turns that you don't see coming. I just love how each of these episodes are just as creative and just as ingenious as Luann's pranks themselves.
This episode, I think, was pretty sinister for her. Because, like, look back at, like, season one's pranks when April Fool's rules. Like, fly traps, a projector where Lincoln, like, tries to kiss. A lot of things that pretty much made Lincoln hurt, even, like, shaved his eyebrows. This time around, this one is more like, oh, God, this is actually, like every loud got it worse. Like Lana getting...
Lucy covered in bleach.
Now she's, like, all whited out. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is bad. And also, that's a bad thing because, you know, bleach is actually a bad chemical to actually put skin on. But let's see. We can talk more sciences about that. There's also Lana who like fell in pie, which was rhubarb pie, which she's allergic to. What else is there? Lori with her eyebrows again getting shaved off or something like that. Lenny getting pretty much fly trapped and getting like pranked, getting like lighted on with Luann. It's insane like how clever this episode was. It's pretty much like Everloud's about to fall down until Lincoln pretty much saw that Lynn Sr. was the one who actually like was helping out and everything. So it's like, wow, I can't believe you actually did this, Lynn Sr. But at least he redeemed himself with the fact that he helped Lincoln get back to her. But the thing is, like, I love the ending though in the episode because it's like, clap, clap, clap. Well done, family. Next year, this is gonna be worse, especially you, Dad. I'm like, oh, whoa.
Lindsay, you're just gonna have it double worse.
No, this just tells you, like, there's something going on with like how the Loud House is doing with April Fool's episodes. Obviously, I think that's becoming a favorite thing. Like, when you see that ending, it feels like there's going to be more Luann episodes of April Fool's, which we actually do. We have like two more episodes to actually talk about with Luann's April Fool's. But yeah. I believe they're trying to make a trend here where like Luann and April Fools are a thing that you need to actually show like in every season. We didn't have one in season four, but you know, every Luann April Fools episode is always getting worse and worse to say.
Oh yeah. I mean, in terms of quality, it's getting better and better, but in terms of the pranks themselves, they're becoming much more deadlier, which in turn, you could argue makes it worse.
It looks like it's getting worse, but we'll talk more about that later. Fool's Paradise. I would say, we'll talk at the end, like what our favorite April Fool's episode will be. But this one, I think, kind of takes the cake. It kind of is one of the best ones.
Definitely. I agree. Just the fact that Luann pretty much thought of everything. Like, Luann thought of everything. It really does show how smart she really is, smart and creative. Like, from faking her time at the clown camp to disguising herself as one of the hotel employees to setting up all these booby traps in the motel. Just, oh my God, she is a genius. She is a prankster genius.
Then again, she's a great comedian, so you know that Luann is going to be all over whenever it comes to pranking and being funny. So, oh boy, there's more April Fool's episodes that we're going to get to, but let's continue on here with season two and actually talk about an episode that really hurt Luann. No Laughing Matter, which is pretty much a realization to Luann. This episode really got her rethinking comedy after what her siblings were continuing to talk about her behind her back. No doubt about it, it wasn't good for her. That she even thought about quitting comedy, and it would really not be good if this route continued. So would you agree on that, Omid? If she actually quit comedy, we will not have the same Luann Loud, right?
Okay. First, I got to get this under the way. No Laughing Matter to me was a bit underwhelming, but onto the subject, to answer your question, yes, she would have been a much different Luann Loud, and she would have been a much more boring one. Like, just straight up boring.
Would she have actually taken the activist role if that was the case, if she actually quit comedy in this episode?
Well, not right away, but honestly, you know what? Honestly, if not comedy, then, you know, like, according to, you know, the episodes we're going to talk about later, she's actually into theater too. So I'm wondering, you know, why she didn't just go on to be an actress in this episode. Like, it was just her being normal Luann, and that's pretty much it.
Well, then again, like in season two, like, remember Alice for Love, there was also like clubs that Luann was into. I mean, she was with Benny, so I would imagine like acting was also a thing that she was into in season two, but it doesn't get a big focus compared to like all the comedy that she's been doing in season two.
Yeah, honestly, I think what really, there's just a couple things that really bothered me about this particular episode. Number one, it totally contradicts Luann's, it contradicts Luann's typical approach to how she responds to her Loud sisters and everyone around her being annoyed by Luann's, you know, jokes and puns and all this stuff. Because when you look back at earlier episodes, whenever she would crack a joke or pun and they all just groan or get annoyed at all this stuff, like, she doesn't care. She still continues on with her jokes and puns. Like, she doesn't let anyone get to her. And she even teaches Lucy too that you gotta have a thick skin too. So honestly, this episode sort of like contradicts that personality trait of Luann, and that's what kind of frustrates me about it. It's just the fact that, okay, Luann, there's many signs, there have been many subtle signs and hints that the Loud sisters aren't really fans of your jokes and puns. So honestly, aside from stating it out loud that they're not that good, what's really the difference, right? Number two, it's the fact that, like you just pointed out, other than comedy, she's into theater. So honestly, I'm just wondering, like, instead of taking the, instead of going the, you know, boring route where you got Luann just, you know, answering straight up to everything, why don't you just have her instead focus on, you know, dramatic theater plays like Shakespeare and all this stuff. And then the Loud sisters kind of thinking, wait, drama? Emotional sadness? That's not Luann. You know, that sort of thing. I felt they could have done a much more better approach with this episode, even in spite of the glaring continuity error that I just pointed out.
Mm-hmm. But the other thing too is that, yeah, I understand Luann's like case there. It's like, yeah, you know what? She continues to throw up comedy until like that harsh word came from their family. So to say the least, yeah, the family was pretty much at fault. But at the same time, you know, they tried their best to actually recover from it. Although Luann is kind of like, you know, I don't want to bother you guys. I understand my comedy sucks, so I'm going to just be a boring girl. I'm like, oh, no, don't do it like that. I just love the fact that, like, at the end of the episode, it's where they, you know, really liked their comedy and pretty much brought her back into comedy because of the whole Chortle Portal thing that she wanted to promote and all. So, yeah, I must say, this episode was kind of like, wow, this is really a harsh reality for Luann to actually say. But it also makes a harsh reality for all of us to see, because if Luann actually quit comedy, I don't think Luann would be our favorite character right now.
Yeah, no, far from it. She'd be like, you know, the plain old Luann Loud. And here's the thing. We don't want plain old Luann Loud, okay? Like, when you think comedy, you think Luann. Like, her character design alone, like, just shouts out, just screams comedian, screams funny girl.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. But yeah, I mean, yeah, this was a harsh episode for Luann. It's just that, you know, at least the family kind of helped her out and got her back into her feet. And look at her now. Like, she's now doing puns and no one's annoyed about like her puns and everything. So I'm guessing the family now got adjusted to it. I think it's just this one episode where they'll have to say, like, we'll deal with it. But you know what? This is who she is. It's more of a realization for the family saying, like, this is how Luann is. She's a comedian. She's going to be funny, doing a lot of puns, having Mr. Coconuts around. So, you know, I believe, like, ever since this episode, I don't see anybody complaining about Luann's comedy, right?
Yeah, honestly, I think, like, after this episode, the Louds have learned to appreciate Luann's comedy. And you can really tell because of how they respond differently towards Luann's puns and jokes as opposed to the first two seasons. Now, I get the message that technically, yes, artists of any kind, not just comedians, but also, you know, actors, songwriters, all that stuff, whenever they hear, whenever they hear backlash or bad talk about their talents, yes, it is. Yes, they did bring up how they did show how some artists, they do get sad. They do have their feelings hurt up to a point where they do actually quit. But like I said before, if it was the very first time that we have seen the Loud siblings show how frustrated they really are, it wouldn't bother me as much.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, I would still say it was a pretty good episode, though, just to see how Luann could be if she wasn't a comedian. But yeah, it was quite an interesting take to see Luann being just a normal girl. I'm like, no, be the comedian that you are. Forget the judgments of people that always are around you and continue to be the Luann Loud that you are, the comedian, pretty much the funny girl that you are. All right. So anything else you want to bring up in season two? I think we pretty much covered all the points in season two, unless you wanted to say bring something up on that.
Honestly, not really. I think I'm all good, man.
Yeah, I don't think I can think of anything from season two that we can talk about. So let's actually move over to season three and let's talk about part three of Luann's April Fools. Fool Me Twice is the episode. Again, April Fools, another April Fools episode. And again, Luann makes another prank day to her family. So how did you like the prank this time in this episode? And did you like the ending where the family really did stick to her feelings?
Now, like with the previous April Fool's episode, I really love that this one also goes in its own direction in terms of handling Luann and her pranking. This time around, she actually succeeded in paying the Loud family's doppelgangers right after her own family did so. And they go off to pretend to be the Louds in order to have them do humiliating things. And my God damn it, Luann, why? Why do you have to have doppelganger Luna embarrass herself in front of Sam? Why?
It's not even polka.
It's not even polka. Like, Luna and her polka just... Oh. Why? In front of Sam? That is the worst thing. I don't care what anyone says. That's the most hurtful prank she's ever done.
And we said about this before. Every April Fool's episode keeps getting worse. Right? But yeah, no. Oh my God. But yeah, oh my God. Like this episode, this episode pretty much like kind of put the topping of the cake. Like you never expect to actually have like those doppelgangers actually turn face and actually work with Luann and actually embarrass like the rest of the family. no doubt about it. It was pretty hilarious actually just to see that, Lincoln confessing to, was it Mrs. Johnson? And I was like, no, 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 don't do the ship on this now. No.
Hey, I'm watching you. I'm watching y'all right now. Don't you dare. Don't you even think about it.
By the way, this episode, actually, we actually saw Lindsay Sweetwater for the first time. I'm like, who's Lindsay Sweetwater? We saw her. We actually heard about her in season one, like in a closet. And now we actually see Lindsay Sweetwater. And apparently, yeah, she's the rival to Lola. And yeah, gave away the crown and it made her embarrassed. And everything pretty much got embarrassed for everybody.
Yep, I saw it. Yeah, now we know what her character design looks like. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, like, I think everybody really did get, like, embarrassed with everything. Like, Lainey with a perm, that was bad haircut shared to her friends. She's obviously baited for that.
Play the poker for Sam. How dare you, Lainey? How dare you? That's your roommate, man. That is your roommate.
Dude, stop. This guy gets a polka, and it's focus. It's not even good polka. That's just a lot of things on that. But how okay, so we didn't actually talk about the ending, though, because the ending actually, like, freaking hurt her, though. Like, they're going to move to the Keys in Florida, and Luann getting all broken down, crying. And I'm like, whoa, we really did prank her back. How did you like that ending?
I got to say, well played, Louds. Well played. Yes.
And she said, go ahead.
Actually, and you want to know the funny thing? Is that, like, for a short while, we actually thought that they were actually moving out. And what I really do love is that, you know, Luann, I love how even Luann knows that she's gone way too far. And you can tell because the animators really did capture her guilt, her sadness, her tears. She was on her knees, on her tears, like she was like begging. She was apologizing. Mm-hmm. And that's when, like I said, you know, going back to what I said about April Fool's episodes having plot twists and turns, it all was a prank all along. April Fool's, Luann!
I think that was actually the smart point there. It's like, you know, you pranked us a whole lot. It's time for us to prank you. And no doubt about it, they actually did break her down. They even actually moved her stuff out, which I thought was like, oh, very clever for you, Louds. Now, the thing at the end, though, remember what Luann said? I won't prank you guys again. That's the reason why that's why we don't have another April Fool's episode. But remember, we have another one in season 5.
Yeah, honestly, actually do keep in mind that line that she said about, oh, I won't prank anyone ever again, because honestly, it did straight stay true. Like she did keep a word for a while until well, you'll see. I don't want to give anything away, but let's just say her promise doesn't really last too long.
Mm-hmm. Let's move over to we'll go over there, but that's actually like one of the last things we're gonna be discussing anyway. But yeah, Fool Me Twice, that should have been the end of the Luann April Fool's episodes. We should have been like a trilogy. No, we're actually gonna get more episodes. Maybe there's another trilogy happening for the April Fool's episodes of Luann. But it's time for us to actually, like, get away from the pranking. And actually, let's get to the good stuff about Luann. And one episode in particular, especially in season 3, everyone is going to agree with me on this one. Head poet's anxiety, no doubt about it. I think this is Luann's best episode. Because she's really the helpful sister. Look, she's a comedian. Yes, she always will be funny and stuff like that. But when it comes to a sister who needs help, she actually was there to help him out. Like, especially with Lucy when she's like down in a rut. Look what Luann has done. Like, she, you know, gave her some tips to do poetry, stuff like that. And I think this pretty much started the whole like sisters bonding episodes where you get to see like two sisters that never really interact with each other actually bond together. You know, out of all of this, you know, Lucy would get like all the praise. You get to see Luann get jealous about it. And then of course, you know, all the jealousy, you can see again, the jealousy that Luann gets. And it shows, and then it pretty much shows like, yeah, your jealousy actually does hurt. So Lucy did quit until Luann had to come in and say, hey, you know what? I'm tired of being jealous. I don't want to be jealous of you. I don't want me to be the burden of you. So she had to go and perform out in that stage. And no doubt about it, that last ending of that episode was no doubt about it, I think the best ending for the Loud House. So Omid, how did you like Luann here? Since we never get to see Luann pretty much be the helpful sister here. And how do you think she was great in this episode, besides, you know, always seeing her as a very punny girl?
Oh my God. I'm just going to say right now, I absolutely agree with what you just said about this episode being Luann's best episode. I absolutely agree. Everything about this episode was amazing. And let me tell you, Head Poet's Anxiety, I'm just going to say it, it's one of my top 10 favorite Loud House episodes ever. It was just, it's so, oh, it's just such amazing episode. For opposite personalities, Luann and Lucy do work very well off of each other. And also, I love how Luann has been there for Lucy as an older sister figure, teaching her about creative writing and giving her advice and all that stuff. Because when you really do think about it, despite the fact that their personalities are quite different, in a way, this episode shows that they're actually quite similar because they are actually both artists in their own way. And not just artists, but they are also creative writers. You got Luann who writes, you know, jokes and comedy and puns and all that stuff, theater stuff. And then you got Lucy who writes, you know, poetry and all that stuff. So in a way, Lucy turning to Luann for advice about creative writing actually does make the most sense when you really do think about it. And I really love that little flashback of when Luann was little, she, you know, was like, even when Luann was like 5 or 6 years old, like she's been into comedy like ever since then. So it was a nice touch. But I do love how also the fact that this episode this episode sort of shifts gears with Luann because in the first half, she was very helpful and supportive towards her. But then the second half, she switches to becoming, you know, jealous and antagonistic towards Lucy's accomplishment of being the first girl to be in talented in the theater. Because it was Luann's dream, when you do think about it. It's something she's worked so hard for, whereas Lucy was just getting started with her own thing. So it does make sense why Luann felt what she felt. But then she does learn her lesson at the end that, you know, of course, you know, she should be more supportive of Lucy, especially since Luann herself helped Lucy get to where she is. And of course, I've already mentioned this before, but this is one of the best closing shots I've ever seen of the Loud House. It is sweet perfection.
I gotta say, look, this whole episode is pretty much an emotional like roller coaster. Like, you just see a normal Luann Loud. And then you get to see Luann be the helpful Luann that you never see before. Like, you never see Luann actually help a sister out. You never see Luann actually help, like, a friend or help anybody out. But in a rut, what Lucy was pretty much going through, because it looked like Lucy was absolutely depressed. And just the fact that Luann was there just to help her out, give her tips, you know, have thick skin, all that stuff. It kind of tells you like how supportive Luann can be, especially when it comes to her sisters. And I was just absolutely shocked to see, you know, you just see Luann just be funny, but you never see Luann be so supportive. And I'm just like, oh my God, Luann, you just like blow my mind with how great you are. And yeah, you're right about the whole shifting gears where she, like I said, emotional roller coaster, because she was really nice and now she got really jealous and got really angry at Lucy because she wants to be the first to actually, you know, perform she wants to be the youngest person to perform in the theater. to say the least, it was just absolutely like I said, that whole rut that Luann was in. She wanted to, you know, Luann wanted to be the first one to be there, but of course Lucy got the performance instead. But the thing is that ever since then, like, yeah, what happened to the support of Luann Loud? I get it. Your jealousy is pretty much taking over you. And Luann has to, like, learn that, hey, you know what? You can't just be down on your sister because this is your dream. Let it be her dream too. So, you know, what happened was that she got out of the rut and say, like, hey, we're making you be the person to actually perform. And no doubt about it, the last thing also was Lucy, like, performing a poem for Luann. And I'm like, okay, that's actually pretty heartbreaking. I'm like, okay, this actually was a perfect topping on a perfect episode. So I have to say, really one of the best episodes. Why it lost to really loud music was another question, but you know what? People can judge about that. But yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely one of the best episodes for Luann. And I would say her best episode here in this with Head Poet's Anxiety.
Yes, like I said, love the episode. One of my absolute favorites of the entire series. It is just you know, so amazing.
If we could have like more like episode, like sister bonding episodes like this, this would be like really awesome. But I don't think we actually had kind of those episodes like that.
Well, we had episodes, but like this, where you got two different sisters bonding, but I don't think they could compare to this episode in terms of quality.
Oh yeah, those definitely. I think like some situation like this, where like somebody has to be working with the arts, but you have like a person who really loves arts, actually help out with a person who's struggling with it, and it really shows, especially with an episode like this. All right, so we could be discussing about this all day, but let's actually move on to another episode that also happened in season three, which is, let's see, Stage Plight. Here's where we actually get to see Luann and Benny become a thing. So Luann's feelings for love really did take a test here, because throughout the episode, we actually get to see a different kind of Luann, a very nervous Luann who can't really consider that she really wants to be in a relationship with Benny. So we get her all nervous, love struck, and all this. How did you like Luann in this episode? How do you like Luann just being all nervous and just being like a wreck trying to say that, hey, I love you, Benny?
You know, I really do like how we get to see a more shy, love struck, insecure side of Luann, like I said, because it shows a different side of Luann that we rarely see in comparison to her more expressive and comedic side when she focuses on comedy. It really does show how even the most happy-go-lucky, wacky person like Luann can have her insecurities of her own, which makes her more human. It makes her more developed in a way. So like I said, I've said this before when I talked about Alice for Love, but like I said, I'm really happy that they made Benny a recurring character, because I felt that having Benny recur in the show really does help with Luann's character and her character growth.
It definitely does, because look, she's just a regular like high schooler. You never see her like get all nervous. You never get her to see her like jealous and things like that. And you've seen already episodes where Luann gets jealous, and Luann can get angry, but you never see her like all love struck like this. And you don't see it in Alice for Love, because you just see her pretty much like give a love letter to Benny. That's it. You don't get to see her pretty much all nervous, all lovey-dovey for Benny. And she tries her best to actually like try to ask Benny out, especially with a big role where she's actually Juliet and he's Romeo. So, you know, they're going to kiss and they're trying to do the kissing scene together. And of course, Luann tries to like get herself away from it. So I'm like, okay, Luann, I know you're very nervous and all, but you've got to face your fears. And I really do love the ending shot there, though, where like Luann and Benny actually like confess to each other. Via puppets, by the way, so they have like Mr. Coconuts, and I don't know Benny's
Miss Apple Blossom.
Mrs. Apple Blossom actually come in and actually, you know, tell him, hey, Benny likes Luann and Luann likes Benny, and you know, they share a powerful kiss together, and they ended up having a powerful episode. So you know what, though, I mean, like, yeah, it kind of relates to me, though, by the way, like how Luann is, like, you know, as a high schooler, I would be nervous, but especially when I want to talk to like my, you know, the person that I really like, and I have to tell her, hey, I like you, or stuff like that. It might go awkward. I understand Luann's feelings. So, but I'm not in that extreme where I'm like, I have to like divert the subject off, or I have to like, hey, let's postpone a play or something like that. But I mean, just walk in Luann's shoes and you can understand why Luann is acting like this, especially when she's about to confess to somebody that she likes.
Yeah. Honestly, this really does show how the show does keep in mind that at the end of the day, Luann is a high schooler. And at some point in high school, everyone has gone through this at some point in their lives or another.
Luann and Benny are a couple, and they did actually top it off with a kiss. So, of course, yes! You got to pick this up, too.
Yes! Oh, God. Yes.
We are going to talk about another subject later, but I'm like, that last ending shot kind of tells me, like, wait, are they really puppets? Are they really real people? Are they really puppets?
Yeah, you see Lola spooked by this, and it's like, it does make sense, because, you know, she's had this bad experience before with T-Tail Heart, so it does make sense why Lola would be the one to be spooked by the puppets talking in the end.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later, but let's move on. Now that we finish up season three, do you want to actually talk about anything else from season three?
Nothing much I want to point out, except, like I said, Head Points Anxiety is a masterpiece.
It was. And it should have won like best season three episode or something.
I would say that it's the third best that I have seen. I would say that Road to Nowhere and Really Loud Music are the only two in the season that beats Head Poets Society, but Head Poets Society comes really, really close.
For sure, for sure. All right, so we're ending out, stopping season three. We pretty much ended with Luann and Benny together, but at season four, they're back again, by the way. And they actually do have their first date together. The date looked great with Luann, for Luann until a pimple plans to ruin it. So again, we get to see Luann just pretty much be all insecure, trying to hide herself from the pimple. So she still goes on the date, but the pimple starts to show up. So she tries to cover her face. She tries to hide into like sheets. She tries to run away. Kind of the same thing that we saw in Stage Plight. So how did you like this kind of go around in Luann and Benny's first date?
Now, I really do love the continuity with Luann showing her insecure side when it comes to Benny. Only this time, it's in a much different scenario. It's a much different situation. And that's the fact that Luann has that huge, huge pimple on her cheek. And you know, as I was seeing this episode, I was watching the episode, I was thinking to myself, you know, Lois right, Luann. Benny won't care what kind of pimple you have. He'll still love you for who you are because you're funny, sweet, punny, all that stuff. So honestly, I was thinking to myself, is it really too much of a big deal? I mean, I get it. Nobody likes pimples. But then at the same time, though, I don't think that having a pimple or not really will affect someone else's feelings towards you. You know what I mean? But since she is a teenager, I can understand why she would have those kind of worries, why she would think that certain way. And thankfully for us, you know, Benny is much better than that. Benny's much, you know, kinder than that. He's not shallow at all. So he basically says what, you know, I think that he would have said, that, you know, he still loves her no matter what a pimple she has. And of course, they have that happy ending, of course. So all is well and ends well.
My thing is, though, it's pretty much Stage Plight again. It's like, yeah, Luann has a pimple and she's trying to hide it away from Benny. So she, again, the insecure side of Luann pops up where she just says, oh, I got to hide this. And the thing is, like, she tries, this time around, he actually has like Lincoln and their sisters actually try to help her out, which I think was also pretty helpful. Just the fact that like, this is Luann just being all nervous and stuff. So, and again, this is just a teenager who is in her first date. And to be honest, if you're on your first date with a person that you really, really like, you know, you want to make it look perfect. And with a pimple like that, obviously your first impressions are like, I hope Benny doesn't hate me because I have a pimple. So I understand Luann's like aspect here where it's like, yeah, she's really nervous and stuff. But here's the other thing I like about Benny, though. Like, he doesn't care about looks. He doesn't care about like insecurities and stuff like that. Benny is like an absolutely nice boy that he really wants to have a relationship with Luann and make it work and stuff like that. So to say the least, this is actually really cute. Just to have these two actually have their first date and, you know, having Luann actually try to mess it up because of her pimple and having Betty say like, hey, I don't care about your looks. I think you'll still look cute and all. That just tells you like, this is a couple to be. I'm like, okay, let me have more Benny, please. Like Luann and Betty episodes, please. And we do have more of them, but not as like impactful like this episode of Pimple Plan.
Yeah, let me tell you, this guy is a keeper. Don't you let go of him, Luann. Don't you let go of him, all right? This guy's a keeper. This guy's a keeper.
Yes,
I do understand it's a first date and all that stuff, but even then, I don't think she should have made it as big a deal as she did.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, like, this is how teenagers act. I mean, like, I understand. Hey, I've been through this before. I try my best to like look good, especially on first dates. So it with something like a blemish, like what Luann has, I would do the same thing too. Like, I'll try my best to like hide it. Or not cancel a date, more like I'll go to it and just hope the girl actually likes me and just not look at the pimple. But
Understandable.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I would say their first date was, you know, a little sketchy, but to say the least, this couple looks like they're going to be as strong to be. So I must say, Luann and Benny OTP, I must say. Yeah, a true OTP, I must say.
Saluna OTP, but Luann is up there too.
Oh, come on. You got to make sure Luann is OTP. Oh, my God. All right, so let's actually, so what kind of sucks is that there's no other Luann and Vinny episodes. We can actually talk about Director's Run and see if that's a Luann and Vinny episode, but that's not really, it's more of Luann. But let's move over to some more episodes that also popped up for Luann. This is one that I thought was pretty interesting because this is absolutely new territory for Luann, and that's Feast or Family. Luann actually being like the next head chef for Lynn's table. Luann tries a different kind of art, culinary arts, where she would cook for school and impress her dad at the same time. Of course, the episode would end with her quite possibly giving up on Mr. Coconuts for cooking, which led her to quit cooking. Did you think cooking would actually work out for Luann?
You know, I thought that it would somewhat work for Luann. It wouldn't replace comedy or theater or anything, but it would have been something Luann would have definitely enjoyed had it not been for the fact that Lynn Sr. wouldn't be so obnoxious about it. I mean, seriously, he keeps the poor girl. He keeps the poor girl awake all night. He pretty much drags her along. He pretty much like tries to push and shove it down her throat, like the art of cooking down her throat. And Luann is understandably frustrated about this. Oh, but I think the straw that broke the camel's back, though, is when he puts away Mr. Coconuts, tries to take Mr. Coconuts away from Luann. No, Lynn Sr., you do not do that. You don't do this to your own daughter. Seriously.
And Mr. Coconuts was with Luann since she was a child. How could you do that to her, Lynn Sr.?
Yeah, honestly, if I were Luann, I would have blown off steam too after what
she did. Just did. Oh, I never expected Luann to be so frustrated like she did over in this episode.
Yeah, she did. I'm just like, I would have done the same thing if my puppet was taken away. Seriously.
Look, that's her stick. Like, that's her comedy role. That's why Mr. Coconuts has been there all the time. But I think it's just the fact that Lynn Sr. really, really pushed her to the limit. It's like, look, Luann would have been a great chef. I think she would have been a great chef. It's just that if her dad didn't really actually push it, that's what made me kind of hate Lynn Sr. in that episode. It's like, dude, Luann loves comedy. Like, this is just going to be something that you're thinking that it will happen. But if you're just going to keep pushing your daughter like that, of course it's not going to make it work. But let's just say, for example, like Lynn Sr. actually just made it easy. Do you think Luann would actually become a good cook?
I think she would have had potential as a chef. Like I said, had Lynn Sr. not been such a dick about it.
Yeah. Yeah, good words right there to say, but yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I understand Lynn Sr. being so excited to share his passion of cooking with one of his kids. I totally get that because the other kids don't really share the same common interests as he does. I get the excitement, but just the way that he goes on and on about it, like, honestly, you just want to sock him in the face and just tell him to just knock it off already, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it was just really bad for Luann. Because the thing is, like, you may have had a future for Luann actually, you know, becoming the next head chef of Lynn's table. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case now. And it looks like Lynn Sr. is still going to be the head chef. But now I kind of feel like we have a loss. We lost pretty much like a chance that Luann could actually try something else besides comedy. And no doubt about it, Luann still is doing comedy right now. So to say the least, it was a shot for Luann, but it feels like comedy is still going to go with her, or theater or comedy pretty much will go with her in the future for now.
Yeah, she belongs more on stage than in the kitchen.
Exactly. But here's the other thing, too, I want to talk about. Mr. Coconuts. Mr. Coconuts himself, he's a puppet, by the way, and he's been always, you know, been with Luann's right hand for pretty much like most of the episodes of The Loud House. I would have to say this was the season where we actually get to see something about Mr. Coconuts. It's like, is he real? Is he not? Is like Luann really, really controlling Mr. Coconuts or something? I want to ask you, how do you like Mr. Coconuts here in this season? Because he continues to be like another side of Luann, which he would speak of where Luann can't.
You know, I really do like the chemistry between Luann and Mr. Coconuts, especially psychologically. Because Mr. Coconuts, in a way, brings out the side of Luann that she wouldn't have otherwise shown herself. And that is her abrasive, aggressive side. Now, aside from the April Fool's episodes, she's actually quite a harmless girl when you really do look at her. And so She uses Mr. Coconuts as a way to express her deep inner thoughts and frustrations. And not only that, but he also serves as her defense mechanism as well, because Mr. Coconuts delivers most of the... Well, aside from the jokes and puns, Mr. Coconuts delivers most of the comedy outside the jokes and puns that Luann herself blurts out.
Here's my thing about Mr. Coconuts. Is he a real person? Because there's something sometimes where Mr. Coconuts wasn't even controlled by Luann.
Honestly, I'm just waiting for another Loud House horror-themed episode in which it's going to delve into that. Like, it's going to delve into Mr. Coconut.
We're having a new Halloween theme episode that we're going to probably bring the Loud House writers to come in. Hopefully they listen to us.
imagine this. Like, Mr. Coconuts, like, pretty much coming to life, roaming around. He could talk like sort of like, I could imagine Mr. Coconuts be all like,
there are no strings on me.
like Mr. Coconuts is going full on Pinocchio in a future episode. Like, Mr. Coconuts is going to go full on Pinocchio in a Loud House horror themed episode.
You just hope he doesn't become like Chucky.
Yeah, or Chucky, definitely. It's going to get huge Chucky vibes.
So I have to say, though, like, I have to agree with this little statement here that Mr. Coconuts actually became like a big thing here in season four. In season four, I would say season three too, because you also get to see Mr. Coconuts like stay alive in like that one last shot in stage plate. But in season four, you get to see Luann continue to, have Mr. Coconuts on their side, and he continues to talk with Luann, and he also like is Luann's pretty much like side character where Luann could be like a sweetheart. You can look at Snoop's On, for example, where like Mr. Coconuts is right there. Luann is pretty much saying like something, but Luann starts to, but Mr. Coconut starts to like get all jerky and stuff. I remember this one scene in Snoop's On where, you know, they were going to like this motorcycle grub. They turn off the lights, and apparently those motorcyclists are angry about it. And then Mr. Coconuts comes in and starts like making them angry. And I'm like, why would you do that? Why is the Luann trying to be the funny one here, or is it Mr. Coconuts the funny one here? What's going on? So yeah. I'm confused. Like, is Mr. Coconuts really trying to ruin the Louds, or is Luann trying to ruin the Louds and actually try to make like a very exciting scene or something?
Like I said, I hope there's an episode that's going to delve into. Pretty much allows, it's going to delve into Luann's over-reliance on Mr. Coconuts, because I think one issue I have is that she over-relies on Mr. Coconuts a bit too much. That's just my main thing.
True. And you know what, though? Eventually, I think Mr. Coconut should leave Luann's hand, do you think?
I kind of want to see an episode in which it's going to delve into that. Like, maybe have Mr. Coconuts come to life after Luann decides to put him away. And, you know, he starts to haunt Luann and guilt her into leaving him. It's like,
Until what? Luann burns him up? You just hope it doesn't come to an ending like that.
Yeah, if Luann's going to put away Mr. Coconuts, it has to go on the high notes. Like, make it have a, you know, satisfying conclusion of the friendship between Luann and Mr. Coconuts.
Yeah, I know. Especially with the fact that Mr. Coconuts has been there. I would imagine it being a special. Why don't it be like a Halloween episode where like Mr. Coconuts start to haunt Luann, and then Luann has to do is pretty much dispose of it somehow, some way.
October 2021.
We got to talk to the writers now about the Loud House. I hope they're listening. Yes. All right.
Hope you're watching this right now.
Yeah. Jared Borkin, Whitney Weta, any of you guys, can you live? All right. Anyways, that's pretty much it for season four, unless you have anything else you want to talk about season four.
Not much I want to say, except, you know, honestly, the most important person I hope is listening to this, honestly, is Christina Puccelli herself.
Hey, I would imagine. I hope you're listening, Christina Puccelli. I mean, we're talking about your favorite character here.
Christina Priscilli, I know you would be a huge fan of, you know, a potential episode that we were just talking about. I'm just saying, if you're a fan of this idea by any chance, could you please, please tell the writers that we said Mr. Coconut's horror-themed special. Thank you.
Yes. It would be a good conclusion, especially for Mr. Coconut's, if we actually go that route. But we'll see. We'll see what they say. Hopefully the writers actually listen to us. Okay, so let's head over to the current season right now, season 5. And there's two episodes that I want to talk about. The first one, I thought this was over, by the way. I thought that we were done with this, the April Fool's episodes of The Loud House, because, you know, and we didn't have one in season 4. But we have one in season 5 called Sinus of Luann's Part 4. We could call it Part 4 of Luann's April Fool's. And I think this is actually the most sinister one out of all of Luann episodes of April Fool's, because it pretty much had Luann pretty much locked up in a box, pretty much being Hannibal Lecter. And there's the other thing, too, is that she's not the one who's actually doing it. So I want to talk to you. How do you like this episode? Because this was pretty much like the pinnacle of April Fool's episodes.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of have to agree. Like, honestly, this one stands out to me as the most creative one, because technically it wasn't Luann herself that was doing all the pranking, but rather it was another culprit. But then I really do love how the episode handles Luann and her connection with the pranks, because while she doesn't do those pranks directly, she still has this psychosis, the psychological mind of the pranking genius. So she puts it to good use in terms of helping the Louds capture the real prankster. And for me personally, like I said, to this day, I'm still pretty mixed about the twist that we're going to point to later. But as for the entire episode as a whole, as for its premise, I thought it was ingenious. And it still continues this massive strength that a lot of these April Fool's episodes really do have, which is their own different unique executions, their own different directions of each of these April Fool's episodes. That they go with the Silence of the Lambs sort of direction.
Yeah, yeah. I just love the fact that they were really creative in this, just because, you know, I'm guessing kids are into horror films, because there was a lot of like horror like aspects that were also in this. Like you get the face mask, which kind of tells you like, oh, we're going into Halloween. Okay.
That's a straight up Silence of the Lambs reference, where you got Luann pretty much in this stroller. This straight jacket, this mask, definitely straight up reference to Silence of the Lambs, and I applaud The Loud House for that, because yeah. I really like Silence of the Lambs. It's a really great movie, in my opinion.
It is. I mean, definitely it's a horror film. But the thing is that, yeah, no doubt about it, it was pretty interesting, considering that there's still a lot of pranks, and Luann was the one who's pretty much locked up. Look, we understand Luann can be tricky, and they did a lot of stuff, and there was a lot of stuff that happened, like paint bombs. They've got gooped. They got PB and Jade. They even went around Burpin Burger for who knows how long and actually threw up.
Forever.
No, wait. Who said that, by the way? Who said that?
We're gonna get to that.
Yeah, because because you're thinking that it actually was going to be Luann, but no, it actually turned out to be this other person that we didn't expect to actually see. Lily actually was the person that actually did all the pranks. And I'm kind of confused about that. I'm like, Lily now a prankster? Did you actually saw that coming?
Yeah, honestly, here's the thing. Now, I'm not against the idea of someone else doing Luann's pranks, you know, rather than Luann herself. Because like I said, this is another way for this April Fool's episode to go in a much more unique and different direction than the other April Fool's episodes. Like, I really do like the idea of, you know, someone else doing them rather than her. The reason I have sort of mixed feelings about it is because Lily's just a baby.
Is she really that smart that she can actually go over the pranks?
Of course, of course, Lily has her smart moments too. But here's the thing. Like, those are smart moments for her, like, you know, by baby standards. Like, you know, did, well, you know how, like, Sunday, Monday, Sunday, and also recently what we've seen with Camp? Like, those are clever moments for Lily. But like I said, they're by baby standards. Whereas here, however, I felt that it was sort of a bit overstretched. Like, it was so overstretched at up to a point where even M. Night Shyamalan himself will find it too far-fetched.
Wow, that's, I'm just saying. That's a certain level there. Ooh.
Like, honestly, I feel that if I had it my way, like, honestly, I think what would have made Silence of the Luans work even better is if you had someone like say, someone in her own age range, like, oh, I don't know, Benny!
Right? Oh, that would have been nicer. That would have been nicer, actually. But I wouldn't expect Betty to be like the evil person. I wouldn't expect exactly. her to be the prankster.
More Luani, first off. Second off, you know, like, he has shown to be into the same kind of stuff that Luan is into, like theater, mimes, and all that kind of stuff. So why not add pranking into the mix? Okay, I'm just saying. But Lily was, you know, I do admit, I got an enjoyment out of Lily being sort of like an, you know, evil girl herself. Especially when she was like, forever!
I thought that was absolutely, like, dark for Lily, because you never expect to actually see, like, a baby actually, like, I'm guessing she got inspired by Luann to do these pranks. Maybe she was watching throughout all three episodes of April Fool's, and now she's learning from Luann.
There's also the fact that it's sort of a continuity sort of issue, because the previous April Fool's episodes have shown that Lily is just as fed up with Luann's pranking as the rest of her family. So I don't think it made that much sense that a member of her own family who is not a fan of her pranking would actually want her to come back. It just doesn't really, you know, click with me.
Yeah, it's exactly. And that was pretty much the ending, because the thing is that, you know, Luann pretty much got inspired by Lily to go back into pranking. So now we kind of think, what will be the, is there going to be another April Fool's episode? And is it going to be worse because you have Luann and Lily now teaming up together?
Yeah, honestly, I felt that the ending was a big cop out. Like I said, there's no other way to put it. It was a cop out, because here's the thing. I love these April Fool's episodes, but I don't want them to keep milking it, okay? Like, I don't want these April Fool's episodes to jump the shark, all right? Because there is such a thing as concluding a character arc on a high note. Like, there is such a thing as knowing when to end, all right? You know what I mean? Like, so just the fact that, like, Luann comes back as a pranking master, like, the beginning of the episode already establishes that she's too old to do this pranky stuff. Like, she's a mature gal. I felt that she should have still kept her mindset, honestly. I felt that she shouldn't have changed her mind too quickly, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because what else can you really do? How else can you pull off another April Fool's episode? What sort of different direction are you really going to take?
True, but at the moment, it feels like Luann is going back into pranking, even though Luann said that she was going to retire. So you got to blame Lily on this one. And I'm like, okay, so we're having another trilogy series of Luann's April Fools. So when we have the next April Fools episode, here we go again. I would expect probably worse pranking this time around. And I don't know how the family's going to deal with it. It feels like another horror film. It feels like another horror film going to be happening.
Yeah, no, she should have still retired, because it would have shown how much she's grown. Like, she should, it would have shown, like, Luann's matured and all this stuff, you know. But no, they gotta give us, you know, they gotta give us this ending where all of a sudden she comes back because a baby inspired her to do it, even though there's no real rhyme or reason as to why, how Lily even came close to executing these sort of creative, ingenious pranks, despite the fact that she is a baby, unless the fact that she somehow hacked into Lily's machine and pretty much turn on a like some sort of brain helmet and made her smart or something.
That's gonna be way too crazy, but that's more of a Lily. That's more of a Lisa thing if you want to go that route.
No, but like I would imagine she would have stolen Lisa's brain helmet. You know that.
But
that
again,
helmet.
Yeah, you're right. Lily and Lisa, you know, do you know share a room together? So
they're roommates. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I don't know. That's gonna be a lot of possibilities, but that's way out of line. I don't know if they actually will do that, but still. Still, Lily is pretty much helping Luann, and now Luann is back into pranking, so we're probably going to have another April Fool's episode sooner or later. All right, there's one more episode I also want to talk about in Season 5, and that's called Director's Rut. We already know this episode. We already reviewed it, like, a couple weeks ago. Luann's big role of being a director of a play. Of course, the actors are pretty much taking advantage of her, but of course Mr. Kokos had to come in to actually take advantage of the actors. It's just a mess. But the other thing too is that this is pretty much like another possible role that Luann can get into by directing plays. How do you feel about this episode? And what do you think, Luann can actually be a good fit as a director?
You know, I think we've already discussed this like recently in a earlier episode not too long ago, but it's worth repeating that I really like this episode, and especially as a thespian myself, I especially appreciated how they took the route of having Luann being a director, about how she does more than acting, she does directing also. And I really do also love how the director's route took sort of a good cop, bad cop routine in terms of directing this play. Because Luann's trying not to be harsh about it, but then on the other hand, she uses Mr. Coconuts as a way to express her frustrations, because at the end of the day, it's her play and her actors have been interfering with the script and the direction way too much. So, like, I completely understand why Luann would be this frustrated, because, like I said, at the end of the day, it's her play and, you know, her actors are not listening to her.
Right, right. And my thing about this episode is that, yeah, look, I think this is actually a possible future role for Luann. Look, she's an actor, she's a comedian, she could also be a director, and she could actually like lead characters. But I think this is actually her first test of her being a director, and of course she's failing at it. But the thing is, like, she doesn't have an aggressive bone. It does feel like he doesn't have an aggressive bone unless you have Mr. Coconuts with you, pretty much being the authoritative person. My thing about that though is, like, do you really want to rely on Mr. Coconuts to pretty much be the aggressive guy now? Why don't you actually do it yourself, Luann? But the other thing too is that we're going on a different subject here. But you know, it kind of tells me, like, I think Paul Luann could possibly become a director sooner or later. But the thing is that you can't really rely on Mr. Coconuts a whole lot. I think most of it is actually going to be based on you to actually become aggressive and actually say something about like how your actors are acting and things like that. But yeah, a true test of like how Luann can be a director, but to say the least, it is quite a interesting take on how Luann looks to be a director possibly in the future. But the other thing too is, like, anything else you want to add from this before we move on to our next subject?
Yeah, honestly, I feel that director's rut could be the first step in terms of Luann learning to not rely on Mr. Coconuts too much. Like, this could be the first step, and I would imagine future Luann episodes taking even further steps in order to really enhance this lesson. You know, honestly, I feel that in terms of Luann learning to let go of Mr. Coconuts for a bit, like, this would be the beginning.
I think so, because the thing is, like, yeah, I understand Mr. Coconuts would be your aggressive side, but, you know, Luann has to actually show up and actually say, hey, I'm trying to be aggressive here too, so I'm going to actually, you know, I believe there's going to be an episode where, like, she has to actually step up and say, I need to actually, like, have my show go under control, or I don't like this, I don't like that, I need to step up, and things like that. She's not the shy, she can't be that shy person that she's always been, especially in this episode.
And another thing too is that, here's the thing, we've seen Luann herself show her aggressive side on her own, like Funny Business and Feast or Family, so why not do it here in Director's Rut?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, there's a possible future of what will happen with these, with Luann, but pretty much from season 5 on, we have nothing after that. So now it's time for our little portion here where we actually have to talk about, where we actually think about like what our thoughts are going to be for Luann's future. And I'll start off with you, Omid. How does Luann's future look to you, from season 5 and onwards?
Honestly, I feel that she's mainly going to be a comedian. She'll go with that career, of course, no matter what. But then she's going to do some acting and directing on the side as well. Like, honestly, I would imagine her being like the Sarah Silverman of the show.
Okay.
Like, she would be the next Sarah Silverman, like, definitely. Because of how Sarah Silverman, of course, is a comedian and an actress herself. Like, I would imagine Luann going the same route.
So here's what I want to think about for Luann in the future. I mean, you did point out the point about Mr. Coconuts. Look, she's got to get older, and I believe she's going to let go of Mr. Coconuts, or unless she actually has a thing about ventriloquism. But I don't think that's going to happen. Look, she's possibly going to be a director, possibly going to be an actor, possibly going to be a comedian. The thing is that you don't need Mr. Coconuts to actually have it all the time. I would imagine it being like a little safe hobby. Maybe like store it in a case and pretty much like leave it there. But if she's gonna be going into the future, I believe Mr. Coconuts shouldn't be with her. So I believe like there should be one little episode where, like we said, a 30-minute special where like Mr. Coconuts, like we have to get rid of Mr. Coconuts, where Luann has to like burn him or take it to a case or lock him up for who knows how long. But I have to say Mr. Coconuts should not be with her in the future. I think it's not going to hold her back. The thing is that she's got to learn by herself that she has to be aggressive. You can't have Mr. Coconuts be the one to actually just be the aggressive side. I could just totally see her like do a lot more stand-up comedy. I could see her also maybe direct a movie. I'm seeing like actors in Hollywood actually direct their own movies now. I believe Luann can have that same path. My thing is also, I can't wait to see if she actually will be like married to Benny. I believe that's a true OTP that could happen. I believe Benny and Luann are an OTP. But no doubt about it, I believe the arts are really calling for her, and it feels that Luann's future is definitely in whatever she wants to do in the arts, directing, acting, theater, comedy. It all depends on how she wants to roll with it. But I believe it's just going to be all in that section.
Yeah, honestly, I feel that with the thing with Mr. Coconuts is that the way Luann is going to handle him, I think it's going to be like a phase. You know what I mean? Like a Mr. Coconut phase. Just like how like her April Fool's pranking, well, at least up until the very end of Silence of Luann's, at least, it was sort of a phase to her. But then she got back into pranking for, you know, contrived reasons. I feel that, like, with Mr. Coconuts, it's going to be a phase where she's going to learn to let go of it. And hopefully, it's going to be the same case with her pranking as well. So, at the very least, like, some are just going to be phases, but others, like, she's going to carry with her all the way through to the end, like, her stand-up comedy, her acting and directing, because she's got a bright future when it comes to those things.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing is that if we're going to continue on with like season 5, season 6 episodes of The Loud House, I believe it's just going to be all with that theater group. So expect to see more Benny, expect to see more of that theater group that she was with. I would expect her to be in another play with Benny, probably another like Romeo and Juliet date theater thing or something. I got nothing much to say there. I think the arts are pretty much calling for Luann, and it feels that she's on the right path of heading to whatever role she wants to be. I think she could be a Hollywood star soon. I mean, Luann Lau looks to be that Hollywood star.
She has potential for that. Like I said, next Sarah Silverman.
Like Sarah Silverman. People are saying Ellen DeGeneres, maybe. Maybe she could be an Ellen DeGeneres. She's really funny like that. A lot of people are also saying like maybe the next comedian like Jay Leno or Stephen Colbert. I don't know if she's like in that level, but to say the least, I think she's, you know, really funny to be in those little talk show hosts.
Yeah. Here's a late night show with Luann Loud.
And you know what? She's going to put all those puns. You know, it might actually be a successful show. Probably NBC will pick her up. How about another thing too? I know a lot of people want to put spinoffs of Luann. I don't think we are going to see a spinoff of Luann's show, but if it does happen, It's not gonna be like SpongeBob where they're gonna put like they're not gonna put spin-offs on like every character. I can't see that happening.
Yeah, no, honestly. And like I said before, even if they do put more Loud House spin-offs, I don't think Luann would be quite as fitting to be a candidate so much as Lori or Luna.
I think Lori is top tier of getting a spin-off because I believe iCarly is about to have their spin-off series come up and it's more adultish. So why not have a Loud House spin-off series where it gets more adultish because Lori's in college?
Yeah, I think that should happen also. I said before that you know, Paramount Plus, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this for some reason, please give us a Lori college spinoff, okay? Because ever since she moved to college, you know, we have rarely seen much of Lori, except for Camped. And one of the best things about Camped is that we actually got to see Lori in a main role again.
I know, but now I'm kind of thinking, like, did Lori move back to the Loud House? Or is she
No. I don't think that's the case, and here's why. Keep in mind, Camp takes place during summer. During summer break, that's when college students take a break from courses, well, most of them, and then they move back to spend time with their families before they return in the fall to go to college again. And the reason why I know that it takes place in summer is because it takes place in a summer camp environment.
Right, right. But still, in the back of my mind, I was just wondering, like, maybe Lori's back, but of course she's still going to be in college. So, unfortunately, I can't see my Lori Loud a lot. Hopefully we get another, like, college episode of The Loud House, and hopefully she, you know, gets some more significant roles instead of a ghost that's haunting her college. That's what's stupid.
Yeah, out of all the premises to go with you know, Lori spending time before university, you had to go with the one that makes more sense if you're writing something from Scooby-Doo or Courage the Cowardly Dog instead of this. Just
why? We can talk more about Lori Loud, but this is a Luann episode. Nonetheless, I believe that the arts are calling for her, and I believe she's ready to become that actress or director, wherever Luann Loud is going to be. But that's pretty much it for our episode of The Loud Casa Talks, all about Luann Loud. So thank you very much for listening in. Reminder that you can be able to listen to The Loud Casa Talks on all podcast providers, which is like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're all over whatever podcast provider you have. We're also on YouTube as well. Make sure you click the subscribe button and hit the bell so you get notified of when we'll be coming on. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for our Loud Casa Talks. So thank you very much for checking out our stream. My name is Nate.
And this is Omid saying thank you all so much for listening out loud. Thank you all so much for watching. Thank you all so much for listening. And until next time, smell you later, dudes.